something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things in a different way. And God knows it ain't his. It sure ain't no surprise. We're living on the edge.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
Well, here we are on Wednesday, just a couple of days before Thanksgiving. It's actually Thanksgiving. Oh, it's tomorrow.
Yeah, it's tomorrow.
Goodness gracious. I'm Alan Masters, my brother David Masters, Mike Jones, and Bo Hansen. The whole crew is in the house. We are moving studios. After all the work we put together, we got it just right, all dialed in, and decided, move! It's like musical studios. And we'll do it one more time because we're preparing a new studio, and then we will start, I think we will endeavor to do this show live on the internet video. That was the whole goal of this whole thing, was to be able to, at some point, broadcast from the Foundation Studios, the Foundation of Human Understanding. And here we are approaching that time. I think by sometime in December, we'll be there. David Masters, you have been being very, very good at doing the show without me and without...
Wait a minute. Is that a compliment? I'm like...
Yes. Thank you.
I can't
because
breathe. I can't.
People, honestly, can't. Nobody knows how difficult it is, boys, to do a show by yourself for 2 hours every day. Nobody. And we've been doing this now nonstop for...
Almost
57 years. That's right, including our dad. But no, David and I, 2 years coming up.
Yeah.
And it's not easy. It is not easy. So what I am thankful for today and for Thanksgiving tomorrow is my brother, David.
Wow.
Who has been doing a really...
The head. The head is like 10 times bigger all of a sudden.
Good
it's
job,
just frightening.
David. Good job.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And by the way, thank you, Mike Jones, for helping me on those Thursdays and Fridays when you come in. Mike Jones is his. Ooh. Mike Jones, you have evolved as a talk show host.
Wow.
Yeah. Thank you very much. No, you have.
You give great insight. Telling you.
And Bo Jones here, who is the quiet doodler. What are you doodling? What is it you're doodling?
You called him Bo Jones. He's Bo Hansen.
Oh, Bo Jones.
No, that's my son.
He's actually got a son named Bo Jones. Bo Hansen. I'm sorry. That is right. Did you know that Mike has a son named Bo also?
I do.
I did not.
Yeah, you do now. So, anyway, what are you doodling? What is that?
Oh, I was just drawing an iris while I was waiting.
An iris. Okay. This morning, Bo is out at Tall Timber Ranch, and he's like, a herd of elk. Oh, I guess I scared him away. All I could see was this frozen tundra. But he sends me what is it you send me, the voice messages? Every morning you read from something. What is that?
Oh, I read from his utmost highest, a daily devotional.
Ah.
Yeah.
So every morning I get these audio clips of Bo reading these things. And you're an incredible reader. If we need anybody to read on the show, you don't miss a beat.
And I do it in one take.
Good on you. All right. Good on you. So the question is, everybody, here tomorrow and the weekend, we have a little bit of time to be able to reflect on our lives. What are you thankful for? We don't spend enough time being thankful. All we do, for the most part, as human beings, is we live in this constant state of desire to get more, to get something we don't have, to, you know, what is that, coveting what somebody else has. I've been coveting people with big, giant yacht boats. For some reason, the internet keeps feeding me these beautiful boats.
Algorithms are a wonderful thing.
And I'm like,
you search for something one time and now you get pummeled with it.
I wanted to buy a boat because the best time to buy a boat in Oregon or any state that it gets cold in is in the wintertime. So I thought, oh, yes, time to buy a boat. And you get a better deal on them. And so what? You're not going to be using it either way if it's winter. You might as well put it in your shop or cover it up on your piece of property and let it sit there. And then you'll have it and be ready to enjoy it in the summer. So I'm looking for a boat. You know, I'm thinking, 21 feet? And I'm now shopping for boats that are 100 feet long. Somehow, God knows, or the devil knows, that I want a boat. And he's going to give me a 100-foot yacht. I'm coveting every 100-foot yacht. Can't afford it.
Back in the 80s, I had a 30-foot Chris Craft with twin 283s in it. And it was a neat boat, but oh my.
It's a money pit.
Awful. Yeah. I celebrated the day I sold that thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The best day of your life is when you buy your boat. The second day is when you sell it.
It's a hole in the water you pour money into.
That's right. Yeah. So here's what's funny is when we are not happy within ourselves, we go searching for things to make us happy. They will never make you happy.
Never.
Nothing you can get will ever make you happy. Happiness and joy comes from the Father in heaven.
That's right.
And seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all else shall be added. My wife says to me the other day, she says something about, she goes, what are you looking at? You know, here I am, you know, waiting or something. And she turns and looks at me, and I've got my thumb in my mouth or my iPhone in my hand. Same thing. She goes, what are you looking at? I said, boats. She goes, flesh. Boat porn.
Amen.
Boat
that's
porn.
Right. That's right.
So anyway, I am thankful, though, to have the friends that I have, the family that I have, even as flawed as David is. I mean, as they are. David's like, okay. Anyway, as flawed as we all are, I am thankful for the life that I have, for the job that I've been given to be a man and to find my purpose. And I'm just I live in gratitude and thankfulness all the time. And I can't, I feel like I can't repay or pay with enough deeds. Cause it isn't the deeds God's looking for anyway. He's just looking for the pure heart.
Mm-hmm. You know, who has one of the greatest narratives on this that I've ever heard is Dennis Prager does video. Prager, you video on gratitude.
Mm.
It is fantastic. Your whole life, you basically choose whether or not you're going to be a happy person or not. And he basically says that you cannot be a happy person without gratitude, and you cannot be a good person unless you have gratitude.
Yeah, I've always, my saying is a grateful person is a happy person. Well, that's really what it is.
Yeah, here's my take on this. I hang around this guy, Bo, a lot lately. We've been spending almost every day together working and toiling away and doing our things. And he's been helping me out a lot. And thank you for that. I'm very grateful to you for that, Bo.
Well, I don't do it for you, just so you know.
Okay, well, then get out of here. No, I know you don't. But I'm very grateful that you've been helping me, because the chore that I have with all this stuff with the foundation and the ranch and all these things, you've been very helpful. And I lost my point. Oh, I know what it was. You are a very transparent person. And since I know Mike Jones, I've learned how to read Mike Jones. I know my brother David. I know how to read David. I'm learning how to read Phil McGeehan, even though I don't see him at all because he's the guy at the network, talks into our ears. But I can hear through his voice. I can see him through his voice, and I can see when he's having a bad day. We talk different. The tone of our voice is different. And the more aware you become in your life, the more you appreciate your God-given awareness and consciousness, the more you can actually see right into people whether they're having a bad day or not. And a lot of times people just think they take it personal. If you're having a bad day and you're a little bit short, just a little tiny bit, they take it personal. Like, what did I do to you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Why are you taking that so personal? It isn't. Maybe you should say to that person, hey, how's everything going? Can I help you? You need to talk to somebody?
My wife checks me all the time.
Oh, trust me. Yeah. I can't even walk through the door. My wife smells it coming. Yes. It's almost like a bad food combination.
What's going on?
She knows
you?
What I've
and
been
you
eating.
Try and play it off like there's nothing going right. on. She knows.
My wife the other night had spaghetti and it had garlic in it. And she has an adverse reaction to garlic. Her breath, I can smell her breath from the other side of town.
Oh, I'm sure she's tuned in loving
well,
this.
Well, listen, everybody has their thing. So, and it may be just that it affects me. The same way that if I'm having a bad day and I come home with a bad attitude or bad energy, she can feel it as I'm driving in the driveway. I walk through the door, she goes, all right, what's wrong? So if we become more conscious individuals, living more consciously, you will start to see life differently, but you also have to live in gratitude. Otherwise, you take everything personally, and then it changes the entire dynamic of the relationship. If you just live in gratitude and love one another the way God intends us to, you would immediately, instead of reacting to it and saying, you know, what's the matter with you? You would say, Is everything okay? Yeah, can I help you?
You'd act out of empathy towards that person.
But it's
hard to do that when we pick up our phone 96 times a day.
Yeah.
You know, we're distracted.
96 times an hour.
For some. The average is 96 times a day.
I've got a special duct tape. I'm just duct taping to the side of my head so it just stays there. All right, we'll take a little break. What are you thankful for? Thankful. Think about that. We'll come back and talk more on the other side.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
At FHU.com, you can change how you react to stress and improve your life with a 7-minute meditation. If you could learn the secret of how to control your responses, how to find that God-given switch in your mind, which would allow you to energize and motivate yourself, you would never again feel conflict, guilt, fear, or depression. If you're willing to be shown how you can become the person you were created to be, allow the foundation of human understanding to introduce you to a simple exercise that will prove to you, through your own experience, that control over yourself without unbearable suppression is not only possible, but vital to your health, to your future happiness, and to your very existence.
What do you see? Surely there's little twinkles of light, different shapes moving across the screen of your mind. Is that so? Something magical happens when you observe those little pixels crossing the screen of your mind. It has all different colors, little sparkles. This is programming from within. Just be aware of them. And you will find that you are in a refuge, meaning you can hear my voice, but you've left your thoughts behind. That's very important. This is what's happening.
Here's what people are saying about the 7-minute meditation. Physicians are taught to treat symptoms. These exercises have the capacity to resolve the root of the symptom. Dr. Rick Titus, MD, CCFP. Time and time again, I have observed time and time again the efficacy of the teachings and practices in people of varying emotional maladies. Dr. Ron Carlson, clinical psychologist. Go to FHU.com and listen to the 7-minute meditation. It will change your entire life and the way you look at the world you live in. Go to FHU.com and listen to the 7-minute meditation. That's FHU.com.
Listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
Well, I want to declare to the world that the thing I am most grateful for and thankful for on this day before this most important of occasions is I am thankful for life, because that's the main ingredient, life itself. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful, and in spite of all the suffering, I've been through a lot of suffering in my life. Alan, you guys know I've had skin cancer since I was in my 20s. I've had so many things removed. I look at myself, I'm just kind of a mashup of scar material.
David is literally the joke about, what do you call a guy in a hot tub with no arms and legs? Bob.
Bob.
David's had everything removed, and we just keep him in a hot tub. He just bobs around.
Yeah, you know, if I kept all the stuff that was taken off, I'd have a pound of flesh, honestly. So on that note, I was talking with Patrick J. Kelly yesterday, and we were having this large discussion about a lot of things, and I said this, and then last night it occurred to me I needed to revisit this with you guys. So, Phil, would you play clip 2 for me, please?
The way that certain people look at the ending of another life, I believe, stems from the abortion movement. Because if you can have a blasé attitude toward the most vulnerable, then a person who's had plenty of opportunity to consume and take up space on this earth, you could have a very, very blasé attitude about that person's life coming to an end. And when Kyle Rittenhouse talks about whether or not, you know, he has nightmares about whether or not he could have been killed. When you hear people talking about death, especially on the left, it sounds so wispy and it sounds so minimal. Like death is just a part of everything now. It's like people that are murdered in armed robberies, people that are killed by vigilantes, people that are killed by bad people. That's just a sort of an acceptable side effect of a progressive society. That part of it stems from the pro-abort community, and it's filtered into every other aspect of our life.
So, you know, I think I just want to hear you guys' thoughts on that, because I was realizing after listening to the Joy Reads of the world and the people on the creatures on The View, the chickens, those creatures looked at Kyle Rittenhouse and called him a murderer when he was only defending his life. And I think if a person isn't willing to defend their own lives, they don't really deserve to keep it. But, you know, the whole pro-abort movement, I think, has diminished the value of life itself across the board. Your thoughts on that?
Bo wrote some things, first of all, you should, because that was a good point you wrote.
Yeah, no, I think it's I think the pro-abort is just a part of it. It's really gone back to desensitization. You know, I mean, movies, TVs, and then video games. I mean, how many murders are these kids and young adults actually
committing
in these video games? Right. And we've actually now, we don't have empathy towards someone that gets hurt. We laugh. We even laugh at people dying on this TV screen. It's constantly switched over.
You saw it even in the Kyle Rittenhouse videos, how everybody was having fun. Get him! Kill him! You know, and it was, and they were laughing. You could see the insane, it's an insane laugh. It's an evil thing because they've gamified. Now they've taken the game that they've been playing and they've gamified life.
And don't think it's just a coincidence.
No, not at all. No.
None of this is all the big agenda we see. We see a huge agenda being played out through our TV screens, right?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Well, but the media does try to foster empathy for, like, Joseph Rosenbaum, the child rapist.
Yes.
And so, I mean, it's sympathy for the wrong things. Yeah. It's totally upside down.
It's the same spirit, yeah. Every man is, you know, it says that left will be right and up will be down in the end times. And it's, we're really there. It's getting more and more clear. And the separation is happening. And we're witnessing it. We're feeling it. We're feeling it in the wallets.
I have a question for the audience out there, and you guys can answer it if you want through sending me an email. Alan, A-L-A-N, four letters, A-L-A-N at FHU.com. Gosh, I forgot my point. I had to do the business part first. What was my point I was going to make? Oh, I know what it is. I know what it is. Nope, I forgot it. I tell you what, that's the problem with the COVID brain. It's Swiss cheese up there. There was a question I wanted to ask, and I can't think of what it was, but it had to do with something to the effect of, oh my gosh, it's gone. It's completely gone. All right, you're going to have to wait. You can answer that question at Alan at FHU.
What was I thinking? Please email me.
If you guess it right,
I tell you what, give somebody an FHU coffee mug if they give you the right answer.
If you can guess what I was going
to
ask.
What was the best thing to fill in the blank? The winner will choose the winner.
I'm sweating over that now. I'm sweating sitting here. All right, go ahead, David. Take it from there.
Well, I think that this is important because what we are witnessing, as much as anything else, in other words, it's not a left thing anymore. It's a good evil thing.
Correct. And it's always been a good evil thing. Yeah, it's just becoming more and more clear now.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And going back to your point about the desensitization of the nation, you remember Roe versus Wade is decades and decades old now. It started before video games, right? Yeah. I mean, it's almost, 50 years now that we've been thinking about, is a child a child? Do we protect life, you know, the unborn? But now we've gotten to that point where, you know, the prosecutors actually accuse Kyle Rittenhouse of being a coward. They say he should have laid down his gun and picked up his fists and defended himself with his fists against a group of thugs. There's something completely, obviously evil about what's going on. And so as I was thinking about this, I got into this question is, how do you know what you're dealing with when you're dealing with these crazy people? And I found this audio, and it's called 5 Signs Someone is Secretly a Sociopath. Now, A sociopath is almost ranked the same as a psychopath these days. And they talk about how one in every 30 people is a sociopath. So the example would be if you're in a room with 30 people, most likely one of those people is a sociopath. And I thought this would be a great discussion since we've heard so much about the young Kyle. I think that when we come back, we could dive into this.
Yeah, but so you have also listed out for us over here on the this side of the microphone these five signs, one being they lack empathy. And how many people do you know that lack empathy? I mean, a lot.
Well, especially in the news media. I mean, the right. Don Lemons of the world, this guy looks like a dead man sitting there on television with his eyes propped open. He has no... Seriously, he has no sense of caring about people who don't agree with him. So there's a lack of empathy toward those who are opposing him. Those who like him, they all get slaps on the back. That's the sort of empathy. But man, if you take a different point of view, I don't care about you.
Well, you know, CNN is being bought now by, I think, Discovery Networks. Interesting. A billionaire guy is going to... try and revamp it and actually put some real journalists.
Actual news.
I had not heard that. Bike. Wow.
Don't go anywhere. I'm still trying to figure out my question for you. And if you have the answer, send it to me. Or if you have the question, send it to me. Alan@FHU.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
What do you think Theodore Roosevelt would do? What do you think Franklin Roosevelt would do? What do you think Ronald Reagan would do? What do you think Donald Trump would do?
I stand squarely behind my decision.
You think they'd sit back and negotiate with the State Department, or they'd take steps now and say, you're going to give us our people, or we're going to crush you militarily?
This did unfold more quickly than we had anticipated. So what's happened? Afghanistan political leaders gave up and fled the country.
You got 24 hours. Open that damn airport. We're getting our people. And the clock is ticking now. That's what a leader does.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters.
There are sociopaths in this world who will embarrass, manipulate, and even physically hurt you to get what they want. And because their brains don't work like most people's, it can be tough to see it coming until it's too late. We're going to help you better understand the mind of a sociopath. Then we'll go over five subtle signs to help you tell if someone is a sociopath. While no single trait means anything definitive, if you see these all together, it can be a red flag. When it comes to the mainstream media, the most heavily emphasized trait of sociopaths is in their lack of empathy. Simply put, they do not relate to other people's pain or sadness. While it's often used for laughs on TV, you may not realize that this lack of empathy has a scary consequence. Sociopaths have a strong internal urge to manipulate you. To understand why, here's a thought exercise. Think about your own life and something you want. Maybe it's a promotion at work, or something someone else owns, or even wanting to have sex with someone. Now imagine what you would do to get that thing if your brain could not feel guilt.
Ooh, gosh. Yeah. Ooh.
Boy, that gives some insight.
If so, your brain could not feel guilt. Yeah. You know, and I'm thinking Don Lemon, Chris Cuomo, Charles Schumer, Nancy Pelosi. I'm thinking all these people. I'm hearing this. And he said in the mainstream media, yeah, these people show up every day. The sociopaths and the psychopaths show up every day in living color, and there they are. And there are people who are actually manipulated by these people. So your thoughts, yeah.
Well, I was thinking about what he said there about if your brain couldn't feel guilt. It isn't really – did he say that, your brain? Kind of.
Well, yeah. I mean, in other words, yeah, because your brain is your sort of – your nerve center. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So guilt for me is more of a conscience – thing. It's not my brain. It obviously translates it into kind of thoughts and words, but guilt, remorse, is a spiritual thing, I believe. It's when we ignore our conscience, the conscience being, I believe, the consciousness of your Father in heaven, your true spirit, your truest nature, which is, you know, good.
And when you go Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, when you go against good, then you are going against God. And then the conscience says, that wasn't right. And then if you tell it to shut up, which I remember you telling a story, David, your voice, your conscience says, don't go out today when you were surfing.
Oh, yeah.
What was the consequence of that?
I didn't listen to it, and I almost drowned.
You told it to go to hell. I remember you said, go to hell. I'm going surfing,
yeah, I did.
Right?
I'll never forget and that because it was the last time I said that. Yeah.
Right. How many of us have told our conscience, our God voice, our God consciousness, because that's what conscience is, to go to hell because I want what I want, and I want it now, says the blueberry girl in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
But when we tell our conscience to go to hell, that's the same as telling God to go to hell, because that's the voice of God within you. Then you feel remorse, like, oh, that was a mistake. And if you tell that to go to hell, you know, you know who's going to go to hell? You. That's what's going to happen, because God gives you this voice, and you know it as a little child. Your little child that is still exists within you, your soul is a little child. It doesn't age like these old decrepit, gelatinous lumps of fat. And I'm looking at you, Mike Jones, when I say that.
I was going to say, speak for yourself, pal.
But the soul is a little child, and the soul has that conscience. And so the little child inside of you cries out and says, no, no. And, you know, sadly, we tell it to shut up all the time in our lives. You know, we're on the internet looking at that boat or that porn. In my case, boat porn. And because, you know, here's what's funny, David. Our dad was Captain Ahab. Remember, we used to go out on the boat with him, and he, you know, and if you didn't do what dad said on the boat, it was, you were going to be keel hauled. You don't want to be keel hauled. So we throw you off the front of the boat.
Yeah, yeah.
And drag you under the boat. So you get all cut up by the barnacles. Yeah. And that's obviously from the early days when the boats had barnacles on them, because nowadays you scrape them off. But the idea was that when we were on the boat, you did what dad said immediately without question, because it could be life and death, right? And so David and I, as we grew up, and Michael and Mark and my sister Diane, all of us, when we would go out in our sailboat with our dad, and we had a 36-foot boat, and then we had a 43-foot boat. These are sailboats. Our dad loved sailing. We would go out there, and if he said, go do this, you had better not say, I don't want to. It was, go do this. And you had better be on your way before the words were even out of his mouth. It was life and death, potentially. So what happens is we become dull through our lives. Our conscience is like, in our case, it was our dad. Our dad was the conscience. And if you love and respect your father on earth, it helps you to love and respect the father in heaven. So since our dad, we had our fear of our dad getting in trouble. And that's kind of where you learn a lot of this as a kid is, you know, you fear the father, and then in later on in life, you fear the father in heaven's wrath, you might say, because I don't want to go to hell. Okay. I don't want to be keel hauled by God. So now that dad is gone, I find myself yearning to go out on the ocean, yearning to go. And I'm looking at sailboats, and then I find this fancy powerboat, and then I come back to the sailboat, and David, it's so weird. I'm literally looking for a fin clipper, which is one of the original boats.
Really?
Yeah, it's bizarre. This is the boat we had when we were kids, when we learned discipline to honor our dad on the ocean, because you better do as I say right now. And I'm returning to that. I want to honor my father in heaven, but then I have a proclivity to get this boat. I want to return to that part of it. I'm looking at that going, isn't that interesting? But really, it doesn't take the boat. It takes the frame of mind of, I need to honor my Father in heaven and his wisdom that he puts in my heart. I don't need the boat to do that. I'm trying to recreate the scene, right? Recreate the scene of the boat so that I can re-experience that obedience again, right? I can be the obedient son, you might say. But I need to be able to do that every day, all day, as these thoughts come and go out of my mind. I need to learn how to be more obedient to my Father in heaven, who puts his wanting, his desire in my heart for me, what he wants me to do. And so I'm seeing that now. It's like, it's funny. As I talk on the radio here, sometimes you get to expose that. I talked, the Sunday talk was how important it is to speak your, you know, what's in your heart, to speak what's on your mind. And then you get to learn from your own self. The teacher is the student all of a sudden. And I'm not trying to teach anybody except myself right now. I'm trying to learn, what is this desire I have for this boat? And then I realize it's because I learned obedience, hardcore obedience from my dad out in the ocean on the boat. And David, you remember that time we were out there in the sea and huge waves. And basically my dad says, all right, you kids all down in the cabin, close the hatches, because we're in this huge storm. And David stayed out there with my dad. And since David was a surfer, he helped my dad to understand how to surf these waves. The waves were so big, a 36-foot boat was like nothing. It was like a cork on the ocean,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the waves were at least 30 feet with probably – and it was a smooth day too, but you could see them coming for miles out.
Yeah, some of them would break. Some of them would actually break out on the ocean.
Yeah, well, we all almost died that day, believe it or not.
God was involved. I promised God I would stop sucking my thumb that day, and I lied.
And I lied. And almost have stopped now. Right?
I lied. It was terrible. Anyway, it's very interesting how, you know, some people say to me, why is this person like that? I said, well, first of all, the why is, even though it's only three letters, you know, it's such a big question. Why is anybody the way they are? Why is Bo the way he is? Why is Mike, Alan, David, Phil, Dave, that we're any, you know, just anybody in your circle? Why are any of us? You'd have to go all the way back to the origins of birth and what you experienced. David had a finger lopped off when he was 3 or 4 years old. You know, I sucked my thumb till I was 75, you know?
So the sum total of your experiences mixed with how you reacted to it.
Right, right. So a friend of ours has done something and gotten caught pretty heavily in his life. And I won't tell you too much about it, but somebody says to me, wow, what a disappointment. I said, yeah, maybe. But maybe this is his reckoning. Maybe this is what he needed in his life to take a look at what he's been doing all the 65 years of his life. And now today he has a choice. Does he admit it? Does he repent and ask for forgiveness, not only to his Father in heaven, but the people he's wronged? So I said to the person today, I said, how he deals with the wrong that he has done and been caught at now will determine the rest of his life. And the ripple effect is all the people that follow him in his life, that look up to him in his life, that are now looking down their nose at him, will either be able to say, wow, that took a real man. That took a real man to admit he was wrong. And that's what it takes. We need, as men, our next reckoning event coming up February 10th through the 13th is called Man Up. We need, as men, to man up. And it's painful, very painful to admit that you're wrong, that you've made mistakes, that you've been arrogant, prideful, greedy, lustful, whatever it is, and usually a combination of all the above.
Yeah, I just want to add one thing, and that is the day I told my little quiet angel voice to go to hell was the same day I told God, you know what? I don't want to live this way anymore.
Right.
Because I paid a price for it, and I said, I would rather, and I said this to God, right out into the universe, I don't want to live this way. I'd rather be dead. And that's how serious I was about changing that part of my life.
Well, all it really took was that repentance and then allowing that side of you to die. It's almost like when you see at night, you look up in the clear skies and you can see a meteor going through the air, and then you see it catch on fire as it enters the atmosphere. The atmosphere of God, if you come closer to God, you start to burn up, but it really isn't you. It's just all the barnacles that you've collected in your life that are burning off. We'll take a break. This is Perilous World Radio.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
Erica McKenzie died and stood in the presence of her creator, and he showed her something about the power of words. So what did God say to her?
God put the palm of his hand down and appeared in the palm of his hand a huge rock. You are the rock. You are the light. The light is of me, and I am with you. And as he said that, he let go of the rock, and we watched the rock begin to fall together. And finally, it made one big impact that set off one ripple.
Each of us has the power to affect good or bad change in other people. Just like Erica McKenzie experienced what God was telling her about the rippling effect of water, that each human being has an effect on another. And this is why the secret power of words will help you understand your sensitivity to words and the power they hold over you.
And we stood together and we watched as that ripple, it grew and it grew and it grew and it grew till I couldn't even see the border of that single ripple. And God said to me, mankind is the water. You are the ripple.
The Secret Power of Words by Roy Masters explains why words affect you so deeply and why they don't have to. Words can be confusing and destructive, except for when they are loaded with meaning in order to convey understanding. One person uses words to say the right thing, another person twists the facts. Which one do you believe? What is the truth? Confusing? Yes, but if you have understanding, you will not be confused. If you have objectivity, you can see the intent behind each person's words.
God said, you are the ripple. Your thoughts, words, and actions will affect mankind as the ripple does the water.
Visit FHU.com and order The Secret Power of Words by Roy Masters. That's FHU.com.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
I want a party. Pink macaroons and a million balloons and performing baboons and give it to me. Now, I want the world. I want the whole world. I want to lock it all up in my pocket. It's my bar of chocolate. Give it to me now.
If you didn't care about hurting other people to get what you want, listen to these two diagnosed sociopaths talk about that instinct to manipulate.
I am quite manipulative naturally. It's just really, really built in. And I have to have those instincts. Otherwise, I don't get the outcomes that I want.
Because if I encounter a certain kind of person, and if I'm talking to you and I sense a level of weakness, I get kind of the urge to prey upon that. If I have something that I want to get, then I'm gonna do my best to get it.
Not every sociopath is a bad person, but that instinct to manipulate is why it can be important to know if you're talking to a sociopath. Sociopaths today are even considered to be on the same spectrum as psychopaths, and it's not as uncommon as you may think. According to the Journal of Clinical Psychiatry, 1 in 30 people are said to have these antisocial personality disorders.
Now, when they say antisocial, what you have to realize is they lack the empathy, and they are compelled beyond any sense of reason to manipulate and control people. And so it's a very interesting dynamic when you think about, well, who are we watching on the evening news? Because there are people that tell the truth at their own risk of losing control or even being punished for it. There are people like Tucker Carlson and Hannity and Laura and other people that we see that we appreciate for their honesty. And then there are the rest. And I believe that they are either sociopathic or psychopathic. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I don't disagree. I think it's an interesting thing. What would you do if, I forget how he phrased it, what would you do if, I guess, the impact, the negative impact of getting what you want from somebody by hurting them or whatever?
Well, let me say this. Earlier in the show, I was talking about how if somebody came in the door, it started out talking kind of funny about, you know, if my wife eats garlic, I can smell it from a mile away. But it's the same with her and me when I'm having a bad day. As I'm driving in the driveway, somehow, whether it's how fast I turned in the driveway or how I slammed the door, she's so conscious that she sees every little thing. If we live in that consciousness, you notice all these games being played on you. And you just simply like millions of raindrops falling out of the sky, of which wherever you walk, they will hit you and land on you, but they do not penetrate you. They just hit you and land on you, and then they dry up and go away, or they roll off, water off a duck's back, as my dad would say. All these games are being played on us all day long. Through the news, through the advertising, through you go to the store and things are yelling at you, screaming at you from the store shelves. Have you ever noticed that?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of truth behind that and symbolism and the colors they use
absolutely.
The shapes and all that really brings it back. But when you become aware, of it and you start pointing this out to other people, those sociopaths and psychopaths want to call you insane.
Yes, right? Yes.
So they're making the same observations that you are about people, but they're thinking, how can I turn this to my advantage? How can I use that to get what I want as opposed to just...
Well, this is exactly why, Bo, you're talking about all the colors and the advertising and all. We have been so indoctrinated into and manipulated into their way of thinking that we now think it's natural, and it's not. You go ahead and take your horse or your cow into a supermarket and see what it is attracted to. It'll just walk right down the aisles going, wow, that's a lot of flashy colors. It's going to look for something that is completely unpackaged. It'll probably go to the vegetable aisle and grab a head of lettuce.
The only thing I'd say, don't bring a goat because they'll eat even 10. Yes. Don't bring a pig.
Yeah, right. I said a cow.
Yeah. No, but it's interesting because it really comes down to these energies and frequencies, honestly, of the shapes and the colors and sounds and the way that they produce things. It's Pavlovian psychology.
Absolutely.
It's that trigger training and whatnot.
Right.
Now, I really believe that 90% of these people are just regurgitating what the sociopaths and psychopaths want them to regurgitate. They're just little puppets that are indoctrinated. But really, at the very, very top and at the core, you have psychopaths. But I don't think that's the majority of the people. I think there's plenty of newscasters and stuff that are just puppets doing their job and doing very good.
They are puppets.
Because they've gone through the school system. They know how to stand in line. They know how to not ask questions. They know how to be indoctrinated and follow orders.
Yeah, no, you're right, 100%.
It's amazing, though, that even though they have become so good at this manipulation, the psychological manipulation, that we are able to even have our own thoughts.
No, it's true. You're both 100% right.
Yeah.
That's
the
problem. We do and we don't. We do and we don't. But there's much more we don't than we do.
We've suppressed it.
Right.
Because we haven't been listening to that voice, that feeling, the intuition, we haven't been listening to it. We're just listening to the computer screen or listening to the phone or the video games because that's where we're getting a dopamine release
the
from.
The reel that's playing in the background over and over. But here's the thing. Try when you go for this Thanksgiving Day, if you've already been to the store, well, it's too late, but anytime you go to a store, walk up and down the aisles and look at these things, not as, like you look at it through a marketer's eyes, not at what's inside the bag. Forget about what's inside the box, inside the bag. Just look at how interesting the marketing is today. You will buy things
that
you
would... How does the package make you feel?
Right, that you would never buy. You know, if there was just a clear bag of prunes, as ugly and nasty looking as they are, but if you're constipated, you're going to buy those prunes. But even if you're not constipated, if they'll put it in this beautiful packaging with a beautiful photograph with dripping with sun quenched, whatever, you know, they're going to make your mouth water for those things.
And it's all just a couple companies that own a broad spectrum of companies. If you ever looked at the food company web, it all really gets traced down to like two companies. That's it. They just have different faces.
Right. Interesting. All right. Happy Thanksgiving Day holiday season. What are you happy about?
Oh, you know, I have to remind you, I am happy and grateful for my wife and my whole family. Yes. And, you know, for the fact that my wife has stood by me for 22 years, the schmuck that I have been.
Oh, we'll take a break. There's a whole lot more of this schmuck coming up next.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
There's something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things in a different way. And God knows it ain't his. It sure ain't no surprise. Yeah! We're living on the edge.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
It is Perilous World Radio. No matter how perilous this world is, you should be able to find something to be thankful for each and every day of your life. I'm Alan Masters. Bo Hansen is here. I almost called you Bo Jones again. Our friend Mike Jones said he had to leave and go run some errands, so thank you for coming in today, Mike Jones. And his son's name is Bo Jones. That's why I made that mistake earlier. You know what, Bo? You and I both had a tiny conversation yesterday about Thanksgiving. And you said to me, I've got stuff to do. I'll go. I'll probably just work. And I said, yeah, I got stuff to do. I'm probably going to work too. And the funny thing is, some people could say that's blasphemy. I know that I'll have dinner with my family because my one son is flying in from Los Angeles. The other one's flying in from Boise. My daughter and other son and their husband and wife and children will come over and we'll have a little family get together. So we'll have a nice dinner, but I'm going to be doing another day of work. You know why, Bo? Because every day is Thanksgiving for me. Every single day I'm thankful. And every now and then I get into this mood, this ungrateful mood, and it feels like hell. When I don't feel grateful, I feel like I literally have got one foot in feces. It's hell. It's hot feces, even worse. And I just tell you, I live my life being grateful for everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because when bad things happen, we'll call them bad. When unfortunate things happen that don't seem like they're good to you, they may happen for a reason that the outcome will be good depending on how you deal with it in that moment. Whether you get angry or whether you look at it and say, okay, well, let's just deal with this. Let's do with our best we can to make good out of this bad, whatever this bad may be. And I just live every day of my life, Christmas, Thanksgiving, birthdays. We talked about this too. I've usually worked on my birthday for at least the past, 50 years. Because my birthday it's June 21st, usually falls on Father's Day or a Father's Day weekend. And there's usually some sort of event that I have to be, involved with. And so I have to work on my birthday, which is fine. I don't care. I don't feel like it's blasphemy. It's just, I need to work. By the sweat off my brow shall I earn my bread. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and all else shall be added. So every day being alive, having the family that I have and having the life that I have, I am thankful. So every day, including today, is my Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and to be clear, I said I'm going to serve.
Serve.
Because I serve, not work, right?
I serve
my master.
I work.
I serve my master in
and
heaven.
Serve.
That's right.
That's right.
And that helps me, stay joyful. It helps me have the right perspective on actually what I'm doing, because I'm grateful for every breath I take, because I know I only take that breath from the grace of God. That's really the only reason I'm breathing right now. It's the only reason I'm sitting here next to you having this conversation. 100%. I can't take any credit for any of it because, like I said, it's not me.
Yeah. No, it's a good point. If you serve yourself, and I've spent a lot of my years, and you have too, serving ourselves. And then one day you have that, what my dad called the aha moment, where you go, oh, you mean all this stuff. This is my story. I've told people I used to be under the understanding that he who finishes with the most toys wins, right? How many times have you heard that in your life? He who finishes with the most toys wins. And I thought, well, this is an easy win for me. You know what I mean? I'm a toy meister. I remember thinking to myself, airplanes, cars, boats, motorized creatures and vehicles and anything I needed to have to fancy house or two or three. This was all easy to achieve. It really is easy to achieve. But is it easy to achieve humility? Is it easy to achieve true grace and true thankfulness? No, because the flesh part of us wants to be God. The flesh part of us wants to be God. And so we build this heap of things and we sit on top like Scrooge McDuck and we go, get off of my pile. It's my pile. Mine, mine, mine. You know what I mean? Like little kids. And then one day we look around us and we realize that all of this heap of things. And I said, this guy called me about a boat. I just had a question about this one boat I was looking at. And he calls me about this boat. And he tells me, you could probably steal this boat because it was a big old boat. And he starts trying to, you know, get to my ego, right? This boat, this, that's this boat, that, this boat, this. And I said, yeah, but that boat will own me. I won't own it.
Yeah, that's how it works. And, you know, my story and how I've had all my dreams that I thought were my dreams coming true. And it all came crashing down in a moment. And, lost all my dreams in a moment with my back injury. And it took a couple years to realize that, you know, even with my back injury, I was the most happiest and joy-filled.
Tell your story real quick.
That I ever had. Yeah. Story is, I ruptured a disc in my back, L5-S1, completely into my right sciatic, completely lost complete feeling of my knee down, bowel movements for a short period of time. And it was a long journey to get back. And I actually was healed through this process. In the very end, I was healed in a prayer and have a brand new disc, and I have the MRIs to prove it to the naysayers, but I don't need vindication. Anyways, during that time, I really woke up. I woke up from this wanting to be an NFL football player. I woke up from the pride and the ego and the desire to be something in the world of the world, not just to be in the world of my Father. And during this time, it was a very humbling experience, obviously, and I came back to walking in the Father's will, and in doing so, got a glimpse of the Father, and I wanted more of it. And after that prayer and after being healed, I still walked like I was that humble soul, and I've had to be checked again. I've had to be, you know, the lamb that's walked away and had its legs broken so it can't wander off. That's happened again before, no doubt about it. But I see the world different. That was my aha moment, and it was a two-year aha moment, I should say. And it taught me that all this is just a distraction. I started waking up to really all the brainwashing that I've experienced and all the brainwashing of the world, the food industry, the medical industry, the entertainment industry, how all these things are working together for this greater good of evil.
Right.
And it was just not the greater good of God, but the greater good of evil, and how brainwashed and manipulated everyone was. And of course, back in 2010, you know, I was the crazy one. My family shunned me, and I became the black sheep, in essence, all over again. But I've stuck to it. You know, that's what made me really press into sustainable lifestyle, agriculture, energy, and health, just to be healthy, and what it was to be healthy and to start a family doing those things. And now it's like, wow, finally, everyone is, not everyone, but a large majority of people are finally waking up. Right. Because the separation is happening. We see people doing the spiritual splits. You know, we see them getting pulled in both directions, and right, they're going to get pulled apart. You got to choose one side or the other, and that time is getting closer and closer. So it really, it's time is of the essence right now.
Yeah. I want to say to Bo, black sheeps matter.
That's very true.
I would say most of the time it's the white sheep, and because it's used to be that the black sheep was the one odd out, and anymore the white sheep is the one odd.
Well, that's
out.
The thing is we're seeing the good is
pure white,
good is evil now, and, right, and evil is good now. Things have flipped, but that's the majority consciousness. What is truth is always going to be true. I don't care if 4 + 4 is going to be 8. You cannot tell me different. They're teaching this stuff different in school now.
Right.
And it's really just to confuse, creating that confusing spirit. And truth will always be truth, and that's why they have to get rid of the truth. There's no truth speak, right? That's where we get the sense. That's why they're sensitizing media and all these and voices and just defaming their character and just getting rid of them. Just straight up getting rid of them, deleting accounts, all this stuff, because those are the truth speakers. If you don't fall in line, you're going to be falling off.
The beautiful thing was watching Kyle Rittenhouse, even if you didn't see him on Tucker Carlson afterwards, even during his trial, this is a beautiful young man. This is a little bit of hope. I think God
is showing us that there's hope for humanity through this kid.
Yep.
He's just a truth teller. He doesn't want to lie.
Listen, the judge was great. A Democrat judge cared about the truth, and the jury cared about the truth. That's a trifecta. A truth teller, a judge, and a jury. The truth won.
And the country rejoices.
We'll take a little break. It's Perilous World Radio.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
It's your first day at work and you meet a new colleague. You've never met this person before, yet you have a positive sense you can't quite explain. Perhaps you're visiting a place for the first time and there's a magnetic feeling guiding you toward your destination. This is what many describe as intuition, an unexpected sixth sense about a situation or person. Often, intuitions pass unnoticed but play a key role in our everyday lives. The concept of intuition is often wrapped in mystery. Is it an expansion of spirituality? Well, from a scientific perspective, it has to do with your higher self. In fact, intuition is the invisible bridge between our conscious and unconscious minds. It involves information that you're not conscious of, and highly intuitive people gain insight without a known logical or rational process. In Roy Masters' book, Cure Stress at FHU.com, you will learn to remain calm and patient in the face of extreme stress, confusion, and cruelty. Expand your intuition and discover your true identity. Read Roy Masters' book, Cure Stress, at FHU.com.
How would you like to support the work of Roy Masters and the Foundation of Human Understanding? Well, the best way to do that is to get a web subscription. A web subscription allows you to log in and get the best that the FHU has to offer online. Exclusive web subscription includes AdviceLine radio program archive downloads, over 6 hours of video programs, over 20 popular audio programs valued at $200, New Insights newsletter PDF plus back issues, more than 40 insightful articles, special offers, discounts, and features. A yearly subscription is $120, and it's only $12 a month. Visit the website FHU.com and get your FHU web subscription today. That's FHU.com. If you've been helped by Roy Masters, please support him so that others might discover his message too. The web subscription is one way that you can do that. Again, visit FHU.com and order the FHU web subscription at FHU.com.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
Well, happy Thanksgiving Day tomorrow to all of you, but you should be thankful today, tomorrow, the next day. A friend of mine said, when is the best time to plant a tree? The answer, 30 years ago. When was the best time to be thankful? 30 years ago. When is the second best time to be thankful or plant a tree? Today. So there you go. David Masters back with us. I'm Alan Masters.
You.
Bo Hansen. Really, truly, no matter how miserable life may seem to you, can you find something to be thankful for? You can. That's what you need to focus on, not the negative. Focus on the positive. I think that was from Mary Poppins. Anyway, what else you got, David, here?
Well, I think it's very instructive to go through these clips that are focusing on how do you identify a sociopath, because, see, there have been too many people who have been lured in, like the vampire. Vampires are designed, and of course, psychic vampires are real. You know, mythical vampires are mythical, although the stories have been around for centuries, going back to Eastern Europe and all over the world. Even in Asian societies, there are stories of vampires, but the idea is that they lure people in. They have hypnotic powers. I believe that, in a way, sociopaths and psychopaths are psychic vampires. They prey on people's vulnerabilities, their life force, so to speak. So I want to go ahead.
Vampires, though, too, David. They're not drinking blood. They're taking blood transfusions from Red Cross that goes to the schools and takes little children's bloods, and there's 80 to 90-year-olds are getting blood transfusions on a regular basis.
I've heard about these rumors on TV all day long. Yes, yeah. I've heard about these rumors for decades. I can't tell you that I know it's true, but I would not put it past them.
David, it's so, like the movie The Dark Crystal, Jim Henson's movie.
Yes,
where they suck the vital essence right out of the little Gelfling creatures that were innocent little creatures, and then they gave it to the ugly Skeksis. So what we're saying, if you're missing this, is that Bo just said there are true vampires. They go and they do these blood drives, and they take the little children's blood. Guess what? They harvest that blood and give it to the movie stars and people like that. It's that young, fresh blood. It's wicked.
Or they give it to their puppets that are completely destroyed mentally, and it's the only way that they actually can keep these bodies functioning. We see them stammering on TV all the time in front of the nation and saying stuff that doesn't make any sense.
You got to wonder what's going on with old Biden.
Well, what do you think? I just didn't want to put a name on it. And before that as well, I know that a woman that is very prominent in that whole group of people there is from what my understanding is one of the biggest.
Oh, you're talking about Hillary Clinton?
You could
say it, brother. Come on. Don't be afraid.
Yeah, well,
the water's warm. Come on in.
It's not working well for her. She is looking like a dumpling. Have you ever seen a dried up dumpling count?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 60 or impressive. More. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's just the ones that are, yeah.
That's the ones that we are aware of.
Single linked, that's right.
Yeah.
But I mean, look, I don't necessarily subscribe to these ideas because many of them, well, you could put yourself in a conspiracy theory category, and I don't want to do that because our job is simply to wake people up. When they discover the truth sets them free, whatever that may be. And on that note, I want to play A4. Go ahead and play it.
So if your school or your place of work has more than 30 people in it, you may be interacting with a sociopath or psychopath without even realizing it. The first potential sign that you've met a sociopath is a strange one, because meeting a sociopath doesn't come with some gut sense of dread. Often, it's the opposite. Their first impressions can feel too good to be true. This is because they have no boundaries as to how much they will fake about themselves to win you over. Listen to this man describe how he would get close to people in order to use them.
I'll speak to someone. I won't really tell them much about me. They'll tell me about them. And then once they tell me about them, I'll kind of form a personality. I'll exaggerate certain features about my own personality to match what it is that they're looking to see.
Now, a lot of people do this to a smaller degree when meeting new people. They'll pretend to be more interested in the things they say or laugh at jokes that aren't particularly funny. But sociopaths and psychopaths take this to a level far beyond where most neurotypical people would be comfortable.
Now, he's saying neurotypical, which means the average person doesn't function at the capacity that a sociopath or a psychopath functions, because a typical person has a degree of empathy. They care about the feelings and the well-being of other people. A typical person would say, you know, I care about my friends and my family, and I care about the people that, you know, that I admire. A sociopath only sees people like pawns on the chessboard. They see people to be moved around, and they try to figure an angle on everybody. And again, I go back to the media. I go back to politicians. You know, there was a great show on National Geographic that examined the question of how do you know what kind of person people will vote for. And by every single measure, they could figure out just by the look of a person and the appeal of that person who would get voted for. They took six people and they predicted exactly who people would vote for. There are things that are predictable about the human behavior and the way that we think and our weaknesses and our vulnerabilities. And so when you think about, you know, who you're attracted to and for what reason, it's very important to realize you don't really know what's going on within that person beyond their persona, beyond what they want you to believe about them. And this is what politicians do. I have said many times, I call him Gavin Newsom, the governor of California. I believe that that guy may be perfectly possessed. He looks like the devil to me. He is a demonic person. He is capable of doing anything
you know what?
To get what he wants.
The guy actually looks like the sinister villain in any drama movie where there's a sinister villain. Yeah. He has that look. There's something about him, the way he walks, talks, looks. And I'm not trying to judge the guy, but listen, if you're a good judge of character, you can see something in somebody that like a dog notices. Even a dog will notice something in somebody, and you'll see the dog, the hair on the back of the neck stands up, and you see that. And, you know, if you have intuition, something will tell you something not good about this person. And I remember, you know, I was talking about a particular gentleman the other day that I've known for 40 years, and somebody said, well, what do you think? I said, you know, there's always been a certain feminine nature about this person. Mm-hmm. Feminine. Does that make him good or bad? All I could say is it manifests itself later on in life in homosexuality. And I looked at that and I says, I remember thinking to myself, there's a feminine nature about that person.
Yep.
Didn't make a judgment, just put it in a little thought bubble, and there it sat for 40 years, and recently it came out, homosexuality. Now, we will be revealed, and that is what is happening right now in our country. The wickedness has been working its evil way, and it is being revealed. But in that light, it will not last. In the light of the truth, it will not last. And so we have to do something about it. All it takes for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
So what do you think about going from human 1.0 to human 2.0? And what does that mean? Well, going from humans as we now know ourselves to human 2.0 has something to do with transhumanism. It's about taking humans as we know ourselves and melding with artificial intelligence. Kind of like being in The Matrix, if you've ever seen that movie, thinking about this topic. I'm like, well, I have some time. I think that's many years in the future. However, this idea is now right in this moment.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters.
David and Alan Masters and our friend Bo Hansen. And Bo made a very good comment during the commercial break. A young man, 34 years old, very astute. He spent the last, call it a decade, finding himself in some very interesting ways. He's been living off-grid for a long time, farming his land, walking barefoot in the forest, just kind of, you know, listening to his creator. And now he's working with us and helping us with Tall Timber Ranch. Thank you for that, Bo. It's funny because he says to me, he says, we really need to plant some gardens and you know, grow some food. And because in this time of the uncertainty in this world, we should all be preparing. So we have this beautiful big ranch that has plenty of land. And he calls me the other day and he says, I found a 2,500-gallon water tank. It's really cheap. Because I said, we need to get a water tank because we have a spring. We'd like to tap that spring and catch that water. And he says, but I want you to go with me. I want you to go with me because there may be some more opportunity. And I go, well, I'm supposed to do the radio show. By the way, David, this was Monday because that's why I wasn't here on Monday. And he says, well, we need to meet the guy. We need to be the first ones there and meet the guy. And we'll get the best pick of his stuff that he's selling. He's selling a bunch of junk, basically. Well, it really wasn't junk, but we got there. We were the first ones there. We weren't supposed to be the first ones there because the guy's neighbor had called and said, what time will you be there? Because he's not staying at this ranch anymore. He says, well, I'll be there at 9:30 to these other people. So we got there at 9:30, right? Like the clock hits 9:30. We're sitting there. He drives up and he opens the gate. We go in. And he starts showing us all this stuff, and we said, well, we'll take this, we'll take that, we'll take this, we'll take that. And then about 15 or so minutes later, after we had bought all the good stuff, the guys that were supposed to be there, that were supposed to be there at 9:30, show up. And he says, we were supposed to buy that stuff. He says, yes, but I told you to meet me at 9:30. This is the point about being on time. If you live in your life and your timing is right, you will get opportunities. If you're late, you will miss opportunities. They missed the opportunity. But what we ended up buying was a farm that was going out of business, and we ended up buying enough equipment, these greenhouses and water tanks and hoses and wood and steel and all. I mean, it was amazing. And then the guy ended up saying, you know what, whatever you want in that barn over there, you can take it because I'm selling the property. We probably got $25,000 worth of stuff for $1,300 cash. And we got everything we need for the most part, including soil. Did you get all the soil? Going back for some more. He's shaking his head. Yes. We got everything we need to grow all these incredible vegetables, including the greenhouses and the hoses and the watering, everything. Now, when you live in the right timing in life, when you follow what your Father in heaven puts in your heart, you know, things come to you by his will, by his will. Because Bo thought, we need to do all this farming, but we don't have any of this stuff that we need. And then God provided it, which is really cool. So I'm speaking out loud my thankfulness to the Father in heaven here on the day before Thanksgiving. But I'm thankful every day. Every day since Monday, we've been thinking about how grateful we are to the fact that our Father in heaven provides this stuff. All you have to do is be living in the right lane, if you know what I'm saying, in the right lane of life.
I got to tell you, though, I do believe that a lot of people are like in a spider web of mm-hmm. deception. Mm-hmm. I think they're caught. And, you know, when you fly into the when the fly goes into the spider web, it struggles. And that actually signals the spider to come now and wrap it up and take it home, you know, into its lair. And I think, right. you know, there are a lot of people out there who struggle because they don't understand, why can't I stop? Why can't I see things clearly? Why is it that my life hasn't gone the way that I always believed it would or thought it should? And there are these reasons, and these reasons are encapsulated in these ideas that we're talking about today, that we are being preyed upon by a predator class of people. And the predator class are the sociopaths and the psychopaths. And I believe there are more than the 1 in 30. I think that there is a higher number of people since the depersonalization has taken place through social media. There's almost a psychosis that exists in people that either makes them predatory or makes them prey. I'm just saying there's a reason why we can't function normally in our lives anymore. Yeah, go ahead, Bo.
David, are you familiar with the VMAT2 gene?
No, I'm not.
It's the vascular monomine transporter 2 gene. They call it the God gene, okay?
Mm. So I've heard that
yes,
expression.
Okay, so yeah. It's the God gene, right? And they have developed through FunVax, F-U-N stands for an acronym. It's actually an aerosol vaccine that actually goes in and destroys the VMAT2 gene, which is responsible mainly for empathy, okay?
Wow.
And this was developed back in 2000 to deal with radical Islamists, okay? There's actually a video you can watch. It's not that people said it was given to the CIA, but it's not directed to the CIA. But it is Bill Gates speaking about this vaccine. And it is now. There's a Harvard link that I have sent, harvard.edu, talking about aerosol, stratospheric aerosol injections, which we see in the sky from the Air Force doing on a regular basis, actually aerosolizing this VMAT2 vaccine. So what is the COVID brain? Why are people becoming dead inside? There could be a lot here. It's a big document on Harvard EDU. I haven't gone through it all of it yet, but
I
will.
And say that it's on harvard.edu for education. This is something he's gotten off of the website from Harvard. So when he shows me these things, I'm like, where do you unearth these things? What in the world? I mean, it's amazing what he's unearthed, but go ahead.
Yeah. So it also kind of works hand in hand with we're talking about human emotion and human what feeds. And I think right now we're seeing the big transhuman push, right? We're seeing this
yep.
becoming one with the computers, becoming one with AI. Well, the cameras on our phone, we know through what Snowden has leaked many years ago, about the operation from the CIA, just how they're spying on people, cameras turning off all the time. Every time you're looking at an ad on your phone, that camera is responding to your face to see how you respond. So these algorithms are even being fed more just by what you're searching, but how you respond. So when there's a needs to be a big push for fear, then you'll see a bunch of more stuff in social media that triggers specifically in that person a state of fear. This is huge. This is all feeding the giant AI system.
Right.
Right? And this is what we believe through, should I say, Mr. Blasphemy of Tesla that uses Tesla's name, Tesla was a great man who wanted
Elon
to be
Musk.
Free. Yeah. Mr. Elon Musk talking about his Neuralink. Okay? This is disgusting. It's basically going to make people robots and computers to the next level. We're already seeing that happen. The empathy and the passion, the desires for people, they don't have any more of it. Where is it going? Is it really being destructive to our DNA? And we know how the mRNA, these shots are working as well. They are destroying human DNA. It goes back to the first prophecy in the Bible. It really does talk about that pure DNA from the seed of Adam, that Satan will be crushed. Okay, that's why the fallen angels had to do what they do and come and take into women of men and corrupt the DNA, where we have all the chimeras from the old times, the mermaids, well, the centaurs, everything.
That's why God destroyed all the people
with the flood. They got wiped out. It said Noah's family was the only pure family left, and it was talking about the blood. Okay, so we're seeing this. Why do they need to destroy human DNA? Why are they trying to change human DNA? Why is the number one grant money awarded by the federal government in the United States for the last 16 years has been chimera research? Okay, that's part human DNA with part animal, or part animal and plant, or part human and plant.
That's so strange.
That's the number one tax. Hey, everybody out there paying taxes, guess what your taxpayer money is going towards? That's right.
Yeah.
Wake up.
So here's another thing. I go to the Consumer Electronics Show every year. The Consumer Electronics Show is the largest electronics convention in the world in Las Vegas. I work with the Consumer Electronics Convention, and I do interviews with all these CEOs and stuff, and I have been for 25 years. The one thing that became scary to me was about 5 years ago, they started really pushing and talking about AI marketing, artificial intelligence marketing. And I remember talking to one of the heads of the University for Artificial Intelligence Marketing, and I said to him off air, I said, "This all sounds pretty scary." I said, "Should I be scared?" And he looks at me and I said, no, let me rephrase that. Are you scared of what the future holds?" And he shook his head and said, "Yes." And he said, "That's all I can say." And I was like, wow. So what I found over the next few years as I continue to watch this is that when you go into certain stores, let's just say you walk into any big store. I don't want to put anybody on the stand of judgment right now, because I would have to have proof that this particular store did this. But let's just say big department store A. You walk in and have you ever noticed there's little cameras hanging from the ceilings everywhere? Little round tinted globes, you might say. And sometimes you look, and if you see across the ceiling far enough, you'll see, 50 or so of these things. You're like, wow, look at all these. And they'll say, oh, those are security cameras so they can watch people in the aisles and so on and so forth. Yes, but you know what else they're doing? They're watching these computers through artificial intelligence, are watching and collecting data on what you are looking at. They're literally collecting the data of what you're looking at, how long you stood there and looked at it, just like our phones are doing to us right now. Artificial intelligence. We'll be right back. This is Perilous World Radio.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
And I know that a lot of people are listening, because I was. And I was really hurting. And I just turned on the radio. And it really helped me just, like, have peace at night. But I feel like I had to call it, but it's honest. And it's real, and people need to hear the truth. And not have it sugarcoated.
Are you ready to stop struggling with your problems?
Every night I take a drive out into the wilderness area around here and sometimes wept because I couldn't figure out what was still wrong. And as the resentment has fallen away, as he says, without trying, my bad habits are disappearing.
Are you ready to stop being so emotional and angry and upset all the time?
The drinking's gone. The drugging is gone. I quit smoking 5 months ago, and I don't even care about it anymore. It's amazing. I've lost 15 pounds in the last 2 months, and I'm running again. And it's all without saying I have to do it. It just happens.
These are the words of people whose lives have changed radically because they've discovered how to gain control over their negative emotions.
We're always reaching out for an answer, and we're not reaching in. I found that in being still, it's so effortless that we're so used to our own will, we don't see it.
These people have discovered that stress itself really isn't the problem. It's the way we react to it. Learn how to deal with stress properly.
Thank you. Since I listen to you regularly, I went from 300 pounds to 140. Before that, I quit being promiscuous. I gave up pot. I gave up going to bars. Married. Oh, we are still married, almost 30 years. Listening to you, I got so much better as the years passed. Our daughters never did pot, never got drunk, never were promiscuous. Both are married, one to a soldier, one to a Marine. We're that blessed thanks to you waking just one of the parents up.
Visit FHU.com. And download Be Still and Know, a simple concentration exercise that will change your life. Visit FHU.com.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
David and Alan Masters. I'm Alan Masters. David has been really running the show quite a bit while I've been busy and out. And thank you, David, for doing that. I know it's not as easy to do alone unless you have somebody like Pat Kelly or Mike Jones or even Bo or any of the, you know, Baron Baptiste, some of our other co-host people. It's actually fun. Otherwise, you know, you're like Rush Limbaugh sitting there and you have to have an incredibly produced show and, you know, all the clips and things that you gather, they're very helpful. But I think that more than anything, conversations like we've been having today are what people are hungry for. Not the clips of the news anchors that we know are possessed by something otherworldly, but truthfully just having good conversation like this. So I think, you know, it's a monumental job that doing this radio show, and I appreciate you doing such a good job at keeping it moving along while the world crumbles around us.
I try to find voices that I can contrast reality versus illusion with. And when you hear the echo chamber of people in the leftist media saying what they say, and you begin to realize that everything they say lines up as if somebody just gave them a talking point sheet, and they all say exactly the same things, and we all know that that's what they do. So I want to play something for you before the show is over, because there's so many more of these signs of sociopathy. But
okay.
Clip A11 points out two of the most important ones, A11 and A12. Play first one for me.
But sociopaths are often impulsive and actually quick to anger. And when they do get angry, the level of anger they feel and express often seems extreme. So a sociopath is likely to lash out in anger.
And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about. I totally resent the lie that you are now propagating, Senator, because...
This may relate to the different causes of sociopathy and psychopathy. But sociopaths are created specifically through trauma. Now, it's worth noting that all of these things occur on a spectrum. Sometimes when you're asked why you're so upset, it's because your reaction really is above how most people would react.
If you look at the viruses that were used in the experiments
that became more transmissible in human, and you funded it, and you admit the truth.
It's worth repeating. No one sign indicates someone has antisocial personality disorder. isn't meant to arm you to go out into the world and try to diagnose people. But hopefully, you feel like you've learned more about the mind of a sociopath.
And you are implying that what we did was responsible for the deaths of individuals. I totally resent
that.
And if anybody is lying here, Senator, it is you.
And by the way, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has written an incredible book. Tucker Carlson had, I believe, on his show last night, somebody talking about this. It was the publisher, and it's called The Real Anthony Fauci and How Big Pharma and the Media Are in Charge of Our Lives. Now, this is something that the social media will not allow to be posted anywhere. They won't let him on CNN. They won't let him on any of the leftist-controlled media outlets. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has really written the definitive volume on what's really happening to us. And I want to play one more clip here. Clip 16, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Listen to this.
Cooper's not going to put me on CNN because CNN is run by pharmaceutical companies. That gives, you know, 70% of the revenues the evening news are coming from the NPR is, you know, Bill Gates giving $319 million to the public television and to the so-called independent news. So there's anybody who wants to criticize pharmaceutical products or government or question government policies cannot do that on normal network TV or the social media. They're thrown off. If you're a person who has suffered a vaccine injury and you talk about that on Facebook, you will be evicted.
Now, if we're talking about changing human DNA. We all know that the mRNA vaccines alter human DNA. They are changing us. Chimera is what Bo said. They're changing our actual genetic makeup. And Bo, you probably know more about that than I do.
Yeah, you know, the mRNA is not directly changing our DNA. They're changing the mRNA. It's like a new operating system in their terms for the communication of our DNA and how it replicates and how it repairs itself. It has these checks and balances, and it's going in and destroying those checks and balances. So the DNA is actually becoming damaged and changed in the long run.
Well, they've taken something like our DNA and they've turned it into a technology that they can modify. Like
that's
you said,
right.
They've downloaded a new operating
system. That's right. So then in the future, you know, through your constant boosters, your flu shots, or through these aerosol vaccines, I mean, this – okay, I know that for a fact Bill Gates got popped. The Bill and Melinda Gates got hit really hard for doing this over the skies of Africa.
Right.
That was back in the 90s they were doing this stuff. So, I mean, this is very interesting times. But, I mean, it's nothing, you know, it's the two things they want is you to be afraid or you to fight, like the anger or fear, right? Because the fight or flight mode, we don't think clearly in either of those. We have to get rid of that fear and we have to get rid of that anger. You know, your dad was very clear about that.
Yeah.
And when you can just remove yourself from that, you can actually think clearly and you can actually make decisions.
Now, I want to play clip 20. Oh, shoot, too late.
There's always another show, David.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
You know,
but evil,
funny.
You know, evil uses seduction and fear. Those are the
That's
two
right.
best tools. And fear is more powerful than seduction because not everybody can be seduced, but everybody can be frightened. And
right.
what you have to realize is that the echo chamber of the left is constantly employing more fear, constant fear. All right, that's the end. That's the end.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving Day. Find something to be thankful for. You've got something. Grab a hold of that. And just, you know, be conscious of it because so many people live and all they can think about is their misery. Stop it. We'll see you next week because the next couple of days will be on tape. Don't forget our reckoning event coming up February 10 through 13 for men only. It's called Man Up. You can check it out at FHU.com. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters.